You ready?
I'm ready. Actually, it might be brief. We'll see. Welcome, everybody, to your weekly Trueplex, The Cage with Charles. Reminder, wrestling is not fake. It is scripted. It is a stage fight. It is poetry in motion. It is just bloody beatdown sometimes. It's about chasing glory, making a name for yourself, doing more than instead of wrestling in front of the bingo fans in the bingo hallways and just doing some backyard wrestling with your boys because you're bored and you want to imitate your favorite wrestlers and personas. Today's kind of a big day, guys. Because take away the whole men and women chasing championships and beating the holy hell out of each other, part of my usual disclaimer. It's March 16th, right? What does that translate to? 316. Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass. It's Stone Cold Day. Allegedly, apparently. I didn't know it was a real full-out holiday, but I know everybody kind of talks about it. So in March, you get excited for three things, right? You don't count spring break. We're out of school. It doesn't work for us. You get excited for Pi Day. 3.14, eat some pie. You'd excited for St. Patty's Day, which is mañana. Sounds kind of counterintuitive to say the Spanish language, but hey, I do what I can because I do what I won't. Of course, my HP support assistant says I need to restart now. Bad timing. Let's not do that. And then we get excited for 316 Day when I actually have my little segment on the show for wrestling to kind of talk about Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass. So thoughts on Stone Cold Austin? Yes. What? There you go. Thank you. And anybody who heard me say that, that's part of his thing that was popular too going into it. But we love that breaking the glass. We love chugging the beer. And when we were a kid, 1997, right? 97 episode, 1997. That's when Stone Cold Steve Austin really came into effect because I believe he was King of the Ring in 96 when he beat Jake the Snake Plumber. Let me take a moment to make sure that I'm right about this because Lord knows if I'm wrong. Yeah, he won it. 1996. There you go. Hey, what was important about 1997? I think that's when he won his first WWF title in 1997 in WrestleMania 17. There's so many WrestleMania.
It's a sports goose number 97. It's all coming together.
It's not 17. That's when he went against The Rock and the Hell.
Yeah.
But WrestleMania 1997. One second. I gotta verify because I think that was his first one against Shawn Michaels.
If not, it's all coming together on the 97th episode.
Yeah, I know. No, it was Taker at Psycho Sid. Decent match, but it was. Oh no, but it's the best Stone Cold Steve Austin match. Bret Hart, Steve Austin doing the double turn. I knew I wrote it down in my well-known notes coming into it. March 23rd, 1997. So this time, somebody do the math for me, please. 20-something years ago. Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin went at us in a submission match. Ken Shamrock was special refereeing. For those who don't know, Ken Shamrock was kind of a big deal back then because he was the former back-in-the-day guy, kind of coming in, Mr. MMA translating into it. It ended in a double turn. Austin, in a puddle of his own blood, refuses to submit, passes out. Creates that whole full bastardry. A year later, wins the Royal Rumble, I believe, in January, and then goes on to defeat Shawn Michaels in WrestleMania 14, wins it, and then has some pretty good runs there. Stone Cold, not my favorite wrestler, but some things that are important about Stone Cold Steve Austin to Charles, one of my first wrestling figurines. I was a 7 or 8 year old boy, Toys R Us for his birthday. Folks were like, come on, boy, we're gonna go. That's my parents love me. They don't say boy. I say boy more to my nephew than anything. But we're in the car and I had just got into wrestling. And you know, you always remember your first figures, I would say. Your first action figures, dolls, whatever the hell you call them, they're toys to me. I don't have a name preference to them. But you always kind of remember what you buy, whether it's your first Ninja Turtle, Raphael, space astronaut outfit. That's how we know. Your first Dragon Ball Z character. I think I had the mini packs of the Gokus. You know, you buy like the pack of four and it's Goku, Krillin, all that stuff. Power Rangers, blue, red, those are the best. I remember going into the Toys R Us, buying two wrestlers, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Undertaker. And man, that led to a lot of money spent, a lot of hours going through, and I would come home, do my homework, and play wrestling, especially on Monday nights, because Monday nights when wrestling was going on, you had the ratings war going on after that. You had WCW versus WWF, Monday Night Raw versus Nitro. Boy, I would do the crossovers of the two brands. I would have I loved it. It was great. Austin, even though it's not my full-time favorite, one day I will give you guys the real list. I have to really think about it. There's important things I enjoyed match-wise. Him versus Bret, and that submission match was great. Him versus Owen, when Owen Hart broke his freaking neck. Not that neck break of Owen Hart. He died because of that. You know, we don't count that one. I'm talking about when Owen went for the sit-down pile driver, and it broke Steve Austin's neck, and he went. That's right. Owen Hart died on public TV. Never forget that, kids, because some things are weird. That's why when Matt Hardy got attacked, or not got attacked, but when he was wiped out clean at AEW preview, that's why Charles was like, hey, stop the match, but they let it go on. I still have gripes with that 7 months later. But he still continued that match with a badly roll-up on Owen Hart to win. Other highlights, I don't know if I liked his Shawn Michaels match at Mania, but it was cool. He had a little semi-feud with Mike Tyson. I liked his Three Stages of Hell match with Triple H for the WWF Championship. Him and The Rock have put on some bangers. WrestleMania 17, WrestleMania 15. Also, other highlighted matches, I think he was great at him and Kurt Angle when he tapped out for Angle. That was good. He was also a little bit background on him. He was what was he, stunning Steve Austin when he was going his transition of WCW to ECW. And then when he first came into the WWF, when he went fully bald, he wasn't Stone Cold when he was bald. He was the Ringmaster. Teddy Biasi's kind of like heir apparent. They even gave him the $1 million belt. Kind of a big thing, but they had to see what worked well for him. So he even adopted the $1 million dream, the Cobra Clutch chokehold that he had. So he had like a historic career. He always kind of had it. Guy had great cardio in the ring, decent shape, could tell a story like a SOB, catchphrases galore. The detriment that he has done to wrestling, though, the unforgivableness of wrestling, he created and led to the what chant. I personally hate the what chant. There's any benefit of not having crowds? Exactly. Any crowds for the last year is that when anyone's cutting a promo, they have to do the what? What? It was great when he was doing it. But Lord, let me tell you something. Fans are dicks. I'm just going to say it right now, myself included. I remember being live in person when people are trying to cut promos. You still have people who get it. Now, some heels are great. My favorite one, the only person I think, there's two of them. Alexa Bliss said, because the crowd was going saying what, she goes, oh, say what if you think Alexa Bliss is a greater wrestler at all. And she was a heel at that time. My favorite one's always going to be The Undertaker, though, because you don't mess with Taker, in my opinion. Taker is like gold. If Roberto Clemente and Wayne Gretzky, Gordie Howe, they're all attributed to their respected sports, hockey and baseball and all this other stuff. Hank Aaron, guys that we've talked about past that we revered, let's haul y'all. Taker is up there. That you don't try trash talk. They were doing the what to him. I don't think Austin was obviously there, but this is the benefit of what he has done and how he's kind of like stuck into the fans even all this time. And he's saying what, and Taker goes this, let me tell you something, say what if you sleep with your sister, and people were saying what, and it's like, ooh, got him. That's always gonna be my favorite thing. But Austin and Taker has some good matches coming into it. He was always kind of like a focal point. He has a great career. Like I said, not my favorite wrestler, but since we're here on 316 day, I'm going to give some love to it. I'm going to give him like, you know, Stone Cold high five. He comes in, stuns people. I think he stunned Donald Trump, but he was also known for the possibly one of the best storylines out there. Cause if you talk about Attitude Era, it was him versus Vince McMahon, plain and simple. He was basically going against the authority, going against the big man. Vince McMahon is egomania. The problem is the other detriment is because I would feel that it was so successful. This is why Vince would have to intrude himself, or his children have to intrude themselves on my television. Because I'll tell you now, I don't like the McMahons on my TV show, guys. And this is where we're segueing into wrestling, to real life wrestling. But I'm going to say this now, Stone Cold, happy 316 day. I don't really drink beer because it's not my thing, but whatever you drink, I'll crack open. Now he does wine, I think. Or no, he has his own little IPA. He has other shows like Stone Cold Island or something like that. And Stone Talk and all these podcasts. His podcasts are great, though. I like his podcast when he has other wrestlers there because it really kind of talked to him. And I like learning the nature of the business from what they come from his perspective. So here's you, Steve Austin. I'll crack open a cold one for you. Wrestling. We mentioned the McMahons. WrestleMania season's coming up. I don't care, guys. Like, I care, but I don't care. It's in Tampa. It's going to be split into two nights, Saturday and Sunday. And in that week is also going to be NXT TakeOver. And they're going to get a two-night event. This is so much wrestling that I don't think you guys understand the burden that I am carrying. But for you, I will do it. But my problem with WrestleMania, we have a pay-per-view this week. And this is kind of the problem with it. This pay-per-view is going to have a McMahon on there. Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman. No one wanted the story. No one asked for the story. The whole basis of it is Shane likes being a bully to a 7-foot monster who just should eat him alive. And we know it's going to continue because Shane needs to have that yearly McMahon match. He didn't have it last year. He's got to have it this year. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want, now that I'm getting, I feel like a baby baller, but now that I'm getting wrestling, two-night event, and you've actually had a year to kind of plan it, to split the event, as opposed to last year, which you just like, we're going to do it for the fans, but now we're going to do some stuff. You have real storyline feuds. Like, each match, there should be no squash matches, boys. Nothing should be under 15 minutes. I know my standards, but this is where I'm going at, right? But Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman is not what I want. They're going to wrestle at Fastlane this weekend. The Fastlane card is not even complete. This is kind of like my problem with it. Vince has gotten sloppy because really what he cares about, his logic's sound. But what does he care about? He cares about the idea about the ratings to appease, obviously, Fox and USA. And he says the people who are going to watch are going to watch regardless. But what's the thing about Fastlane that kind of matters? It's Peacock's first launch. Because remember those billion-dollar bucks? You know, you guys are worried about them stimulus checks. Vince McMahon's got real FU money going on here. Basically, for those who need the summary, WWE Network sold for $1 billion. Licensing rights, they get it back, reverted to him. Vince is a genius of the business, man. Seriously. This pandemic has been fantastic for him. But it's going to appear a fast lane. I don't care about the card. I really don't. We're not even getting Bobby Lashley wrestling, you guys. Because on Monday Night Raw, for some reason, Drew McIntyre just beats up Miz and just goes to Bobby's like, yeah, and Bobby's like, sure. I'm like, come on, do something. You could at least put Miz versus Drew McIntyre in a number one contenders match. We all know Fastlane is a throwaway pay-per-view, but you got to give me a reason to watch it. You got to give me something to watch it. Even if you only make it like a 2-hour pay-per-view, you got to make it matter. You got to make, like, Drew can't just point at Bobby and be like, I'm taking that title. You lost your title. Why are you getting another opportunity? If you win a number one contenders match, then that makes sense. Sloppy storytelling, but not the sloppiest. The match is on the card. Big E versus Apollo Crews. I haven't talked about this, and I'll keep it very brief. Basically, Apollo turned heel. He basically adapted his Nigerian heritage, which concerns me because I think Vince sometimes loves stereotypes a little bit too much. Because if you ever heard Apollo Crews talk before, he does not like sound like he's from Nigeria. And so now they gave him an accent. So I just expect Vince and all his cultural denseness to just have like Apollo scream out Wakanda forever. And I'm like, come on, Vince, don't do this. Because Vince has that history, man. You had Crime Time, Nation of Domination, and Apollo is a talent. And this heel turn has been great for him, especially if he wins the Intercontinental Championship from Big E. But I don't want it at the expense that he has to adopt an accent now. Am I the only one who feels like it's just bad for business? I don't know. Heel Apollo is good for business, but the minute you put on the Nigerian accent, I'm like, ooh, buddy. And that was his thing in the Indies when he was UHA Nation, and I get that. But I don't even think he would cut promos in a different accent. So someone creative just can be like, oh, let him be proud of his heritage. Why does he have to adapt accent? That's the same thing to me, who is Argentine Colombian, and I'm just like, well, and you hear me speak like, you know, whatever the equivalent might that be. It's not who I am, but I have to create and tap into identity. I don't get it. Whatever. It's just one of those things I've always had a gripe with Vince about, because it feels like the desperate play, but that's one of the matches going into it.
I like this tweet right here. The real acting were those guards behind Apollo Crews not laughing because of his botched accent.
Yeah, it was tough. Like, when we get off the show, go listen to how Apollo Crews usually talks. He's a nice guy, but he does not, he's not even...
It sounds like the, what I would have said, Eddie Murphy and Coming to America. Is it like that?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, like, boy.
My grandfather used to say, it doesn't work. And let me give you an insight, because this ain't the only one. We love Kofi Kingston. You guys were with me with Kofi Mania. Mm-hmm. Kofi, when he first came to the WWE, was billed from being Jamaica. So what did Kofi have? A fake Jamaican accent. Kofi's from Boston, man. Like, he's got heritage. We all have heritage. But that ain't who they are. And unless that's part of the gimmick that they choose to, don't assign it to them. Because I still remember, and when we talk about cultural, some people will say Charles is not cultural insensitivity. I think it's just Vince being a fan of stereotyping. Because what do we remember? And I talked about it many, many cages ago. We're bringing it all back together. The Mexicools, super crazy, Juventud Guerrera, and then Psicosis coming down trackers. Don't buy into this for Vince. Make him earn it. Fastlane, big money match though. Yeah, I'm going to watch it from Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, especially if Edge is going to be a special enforcer. He's having his first match in 10 years on SmackDown against Jey Uso, because Jey Uso is a rabid dog, always trying to appease Roman. And I think there's going to be some chicanery, because I don't know for sure. But I believe, boys, I believe that they are going to put Daniel Bryan in a triple threat match at Mania. It's not just going to be Edge and Roman. And I'm okay with it if Edge isn't ready to fully carry that match himself, because I think the story will be great leading to the pay-per-view, but does Edge still have the chutzpah yet? You know, he's still a little rusty. And I noticed that when he was wrestling Randy Orton on that Raw. But hey, wrestling is so far away.
Shout out on the correct usage of Yiddish right there. Very well done.
I don't even know what I said. I feel like my wrestling ancestors just invaded me. So
didn't you say chutzpah?
Yeah, I did say chutzpah.
That's so, Yiddish.
I know it's Yiddish. I don't know what I say sometimes. I get into this, guys, and it's like this is ultra. So for my weebs out there, because I've been watching a lot of anime, this is Ultra Instinct, Charles. You know, I am at a level where I just see everything. I'm too quick for you. But moving away from WrestleMania, Fastlane's coming up. I'll watch it for you guys because it's an obligation. NXT was so good last week. I told you guys about Tuesday, why I hate sometimes doing the show on a Tuesday when NXT is on Wednesday and I have to remember everything. But I made sure to write some notes. I made sure to write some notes on it, mental notes. Because what did I tell you guys about NXT last week? There was going to be two title opportunities. Two title shots. Io Shirai versus Toni Storm for the women's NXT title. That was good. Ended with Toni Storm tapping out to a crossface. There was some controversy going around because they were like, oh, we advertised for two, but it's going to be three. Because what do we know? We mentioned a couple of shows ago, they had the Dusty Rhodes Classic tag teams for the women's and the men's. Whoever won got a tag team title opportunity. Well, we know from the prior week, 2 weeks ago, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending against Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai, and it ended up in some weird controversy. So what did NXT do for the women's tag team? They announced last week that they were introducing their own NXT Women Tag Team Championships, and they awarded them to whom? Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. And then they lost those titles 45 minutes later. Weird ass booking, H. I get the idea that your whole thing is about, hey, the women's division is strong and our tag division is strong compared to the main roster's tag division, which is inconsistent, bad booking. And I completely 100% agree with you. But all you could have done was just have Raquel and Dakota, or even Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. Shout out. Congratulations, ladies. You are now the second NXT championships or women tag team championships. Those belts are looking great. But I don't think the first thing you had to do was award a title to somebody. You could have just made the Dusty Rhodes Classic about becoming the first ever women's tag team championship. But now you award it to them on a weird pinfall from a couple weeks ago or submission. And then they lose it 45 minutes later to Ember and Shotzi. What the hell?
Seems like the meme from South Park. And it's gone.
Yeah, and it's gone. And then, you know, the other meme from South Park is H and Vince rubbing their nipples. So we're sorry. Because I just have to take it. That's essentially what it is. I just have to deal with it. But part of the problem is that there's too many titles right now. And I still feel that the roster's not at full capacity because of the pandemic and also the firing certain people to consider. Like, personally, I don't want WrestleMania for the men's tag team. I wish it's a unification bout. I want the Dirty Dogs of Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler versus the New Day, who just won it. But now they might lose to AJ and Almas. But that WrestleMania match has already been announced. But I'll get more of that in detail. I don't want to go too far ahead. But that's the point. Too many titles. It's like, meh, it doesn't mean much. Do I think the women in NXT deserve a tag title? Yeah, but the problem is the women's main roster, being Raw and SmackDown, already have NXT, or not NXT, but women's tag team titles. So we really could have had the NXT women win it, keep it, and then eventually lose it, but whatever. But the main event, whew, boys, it was so good. We had talked about it. Finn Balor, Adam Cole, Part 3, NXT Championship, some small recaps. Basically, Adam ruined everything. He broke up the Undisputed Era just to get Finn's NXT title. Match was so good. And I hate TV matches for championships sometimes, fellas, because commercial breaks and picture-in-picture. I hate picture-in-picture. Some people love it. I hate it because part of the quality of a picture-in-picture takes away from, one, aside from me seeing the action, I don't hear the announcers fully, right? You don't get all of it. So you lose some of that emotion. Imagine when the crowd comes in, doesn't work. And I was never a fan of it. But that match was just so good. Like, had me thinking that Adam Cole was going to win it. If Adam won, I have a little bit of a chub because am I getting Adam and Kyle for the NXT title? They're going back and forth. Kyle comes out looking at Adam. Adam's getting spooked. Finn jumps over, does his moonsault over the top, or does his little senton over the top dive. does the 1916 hanging DDT on the outside and then just finishes Adam off. I'm like, ooh, and then Kyle comes in and I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. Because what is wrestling, boys? It's a soap opera sometimes. And he's like, oh, I didn't mean to. And he tries a low blow Kyle. Kyle blocks it, beats the holy hell out of Adam, tries to suplex him on the steel ramps, because that's what he did a couple weeks ago to Kyle to knock Kyle out. Refs break it up. Kyle chases Adam, and as Finn's sitting there, who's right behind Finn? Bros. Karrion Kross, the man who never lost the title because he beat Keith Lee, I believe, back in August, and then had his shoulder separated and had to vacate the title. But who won it? Finn Balor. He's coming for that belt. And I was ready, man. It was so good. Because I called all that stuff sitting there watching it and seeing it happen. And all Finn does, Finn, who's like 5'10 on a good day, a buck 85. That's the thing about wrestling. They'll lie about their weight. Like, Finn probably only weighs like 15 pounds more than me. And then you get Karrion Kross. That man scares me. He's like 6'3, 280 on a good day. And he just got his arms crossed. And Finn just looks like, what took you so long? And I'm like, boner time, boys. That's what it is. Because that's going to be what TakeOver. TakeOver is going to be that week. The same week as WrestleMania, Stand and Deliver. I kind of like the name. I kind of hate the name. Because I like Stand and Deliver. It's a great movie. You guys should watch
that's
it.
That's what I was thinking when I'm like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips, Edward James Olmos, you know.
How can I teach these kids?
How can I teach these kids? So, you know, I feel like that's going to be Triple H, because Triple H, look, you're going big balls. Because, you know, let's talk about Stand and Deliver and making the comparison. You're going to Vince McMahon. It's like, how can I teach this old man what real wrestling is like? I'm about that. I'm about it. I'm loving it. AEW, tomorrow's St. Paddy's. They're doing their whole St. Paddy's genre going on, a couple matches that go on there that I'll watch. And this is hard because NXT thankfully cooled off last week for me, so I can watch this because some good matches. Eddie Kingston, John Moxley, he'll beat me up if I say that, is going to go against the Good Brothers, get some revenge there after the AEW dud that they did at Revolution. They're going to have, oh no, please don't tell me my brain has something. Oh no, they're going to have Cody Rhodes versus El Pento Zero M. They don't go Miedo, they say Zero M. He used to be El Pento, wherever his name was. They changed his name like 3 times, and I can't get into it. I can barely speak English, so now I have to try to give authenticity to the name for Spanish. Why are you doing this to me? That should be a good match. I think Cody's also going to be out for a little bit because his wife Brandy is actually pregnant, so typically what you do in normal wrestling storyline, hurt the daddy, have him be gone for a couple weeks, go be there for the birth of your child. I don't know when she's due, so I'm speculating. And then the main event's going to be Dr. Britt Baker, Adam Cole's girlfriend. Look at that, connected to worlds, right? Versus Thunder Rosa in a lights out, non-sanctioned match. These two have been feuding for a while. Should be interesting. NXT, I don't even know what's going on tomorrow, to be honest with you. And then New Japan, just give you an update. The King, Minoru Suzuki, lost to Kenta. Fine. You guys know I like The King. I like Kenta too, but I like me some Minoru. But Shingo Takagi versus Kenta. Please, sir. Like, it is finger looking good, because, you know, Shingo is my choice for winning the J Cup, the Japan Cup. It might lead to Shingo versus Jay White. And, you know, he's been dubbing as the J Cup coming into it. And that should be a great match. But this, the whole purpose of winning the Japan Cup will get them April 4th a title shot against Kota Ibushi for his now unified IWGP. Is it IWGP or is it IGWP? I can never remember. I think it's IWGT. Yeah, International Wrestling Grand Prix. Unified Heavyweight Championship. See, I brought it all together, boys. And if it's Shingo, Shingo's not going to win. I'm just saying that right now. But Shingo versus Kota, I can't say I've seen a lot of those matches. And what I've been doing for you guys is sending you some New Japan stuff to see, like some of the stiffening and some of the promos and some of the intensity. Boy, that should be a good match. People can bust their necks, but I'm excited. But we don't know yet, because first we got to go to Shingo and Kenta, and we'll see what happens. And that's it on this very – oh, yeah, Andrade wants to get released. Vince doesn't want to do it, which means he's going to give Andrade like a fake title to appease him, and then Andrade will leave when the contract's up. That's usually the process. But, yeah, you know, happy 316 Day, kids. It's more important than St. Paddy's Day and Pi Day. And that's all I got for you this week on The Cage. Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. Somebody did. Francisco's like, what is going on in this wrestling world? You know. Listen, if I will tell you this, for even non-casuals, non-fans, for anybody who never thought, your grandmother, who would probably think it's a sin to say hell knows who Stone Cold is and what his importance is in wrestling. That is transcendence right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the reason I knew it was this day was because of ESPN's, their Twitter account was what tweeted it out. So there you go. There you go. It's mainstream. Go.